I want you all to get thinking about your next trip. Where do you want to go when you get away? Do you want to be close to nature or not as close, or maybe a medium option that I didn't put up here? So we've got on top, we've got the fancy hotels. Maybe a fancy resort is your thing with all of the amenities, climate controlled, but you know, it's harder to see the stars. Or maybe you're all for tent camping. You're out there, very close to nature, sometimes too close, depending on your opinion. You have little protection from the elements, but you have mobility. You have to set it up yourself, of course, but you can take that tent to any number of beautiful places with a little bit of planning. And then the medium option might be the rustic cabin or glamping, as they say, where you're in nature, but you got a roof over your head, you've got a little more protection than a tent. So we're gonna vote. So everyone is eligible to vote. I know it's tough, huh? You gotta pick one. Just how you're feeling today, maybe. Who's going for the fancy accommodations with climate controlled? Okay, we got some votes for that one, yeah. Who's going for tent camping? Just out there, yeah, got to the back row is really into the tent camping, okay. And then who's in the middle? That would be me, I'm glamping. Oh, okay, that's kind of a majority, yeah. That would definitely be me, interesting. All right, for those of you who like the tent camping, good news, God is on team tent camping. Exodus chapter 25 in verses 8 and 9 says, "Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you." The pattern is the building instructions provided by God, and the sanctuary and the tabernacle are a large tent for worship, for community gathering, and especially for God's presence, God's special and unique presence. Tabernacle means dwelling place. So we could change the verse up a little bit and say, "Then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will tabernacle among them. Make this dwelling and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you." Tabernacle, dwelling. A former teacher of ours, James Bruckner, said of this passage, "The Lord did not come for a visit, not just a visit, but rather to live among them." The text reveals the enduring presence as well as the mobility of God. Later, the people would create permanent structures from which to worship God, but God's original idea was this mobile, enduring presence in the tabernacle. In John 1, in Jesus, we find both the enduring presence of God and a very special visit from God. Let's read the beginning of John 1 again. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." Whoa. So in the beginning was the Word. That's how Genesis 1 starts, remember? In the beginning. That's how Genesis 1, that's how creation begins. In Genesis 1, God creates out of chaos simply by speaking the words, "Let there be light," and on and on. The word of John 1 is both God and with God and present at creation. And as we read along in John 1, it becomes increasingly clear that this light of the world refers to Jesus. And verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." The Word became human and tabernacled among us. So this is not some brand new idea that God just thought of. This is connected from God's eternal desire to be with us. So just try to wrap your mind around this. Jesus, the second person of the eternal Trinity, chose the limitations and the vulnerability of humanity and came to live with us. A writer, Gary Charles, said, "In Jesus, God pitched his tent, choosing not simply to visit or to observe from a distance, but to dwell within the human community." God pitched a tent with us. The tent is also an image for the life in the human body in the New Testament. In both 2 Corinthians and 2 Peter, the tent is an image for the fragile and the temporary and the fleeting and sometimes painful nature of human experience. So the Word, the Word in the beginning, the Word became flesh and pitched his tent among us. Later in John chapter 1, beyond what we read this morning, I'm going to start reading at verse 45. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. I can't really tell if Nathanael simply can't believe that someone important could come from such a small town that's not even on the way to somewhere else, or if Nathanael has some negative impressions of Nazareth, of this community where the Son of God is growing up with his family, well, where he grew up with his family. At this point, he's an adult. Either way, the Word of God, is living and growing up in a town of little consequence, or worse, bad consequence. All of this is pointing to the power of the incarnation. The Nativity is the story of Christmas, and we'll rehearse and review and celebrate that tonight. The incarnation is what Christmas means. The God who was present at the dawning of creation took on flesh and pitched his tent among us. Jesus spent time not in the most comfortable corners of creation, but in a stable in Bethlehem. And then in Nazareth. What good is Nazareth? And he spent time in Samaria, the wrong side of the tracks. And finally, he chose to spend time on Golgotha and the cross. Jesus, Lord of all, chose to pitch his tent in out-of-the-way places, undesirable places, humble places. That's God with us. I want to read a testimony from another Covenant pastor and Covenant leader, Dominique Gilliard. This is from a video, so I'm like watching the video and then writing it down, and then I could have just showed you the video. Now that would have been hard. Okay. I'm going to read for you what he said, almost word for word. And he's talking about his own personal faith and walk with God. He said, "The love of Jesus compelled him to take on flesh, to suffer amongst us, God with us. That's something that sustains my faith. The fact that we have a Lord and Savior who gets in the muck and the mire, who embodied the marginality and the oppression, who knows what it means to suffer, is what sustains my faith. It's what allows me to give my life to the God who knows, not from a distance, but proximately knows the harsh realities of what it means to live in this world. God with us. May it strengthen our faith, even in the face of suffering and injustice. God with us. May we embrace the undesirables of this world instead of protecting ourselves in the safe and familiar. God with us. May we take comfort in knowing that Jesus understands the struggles of being human more than we realize. We are never, ever alone. If it seems hard to believe, if all of this just seems unbelievable, listen to Philip. Come and see, Philip said. Come meet Jesus, the one we've been looking for. Amen.